CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com, Monday morning, and lots of good stuff going on. Dr. Hanan putting out some hard truths. We've had some discussions around Mash's crazy weekend and your serial dating. I thought it was going to be about you, actually, when this girl started talking about how many people she's been with. I was like, oh, God, Mash is going to get all like self-conscious.
Thankfully not.
And we want to hear from you this morning, so give us a shout. Tell us what you're up to. Here's a great email I got. This is from a woman of color who listens to us from the Netherlands. She says, Gareth and Pumi were discussing a woman in South African woman in London who was found dead after being in the apartment for 2.5 years. That's nothing, she says. Says there were incidents in the Netherlands in Rotterdam where they found two women after they'd been dead for 8 and 10 years. Both of them were estranged from their families. Both were retired and didn't interact with their neighbors. The daughter of one of them had not spoken to her mom in 6 to 7 years before she died. It is possible for this to happen. Just think about it, she says. Because so Pumi and I were talking about, how is it possible that someone, you know, the bills pile up and how do they like not realize that someone's dead for 2 years? Well, according to this email, that's nothing. I mean, like 8 to 10 years is possible. So some people are so isolated, she says, that debit orders come off automatically, like taxes, utilities, all of that. Pensions are automatically paid into their bank accounts. How many people do you know who have daily or even monthly contact with their neighbors? It's worse when you live in an apartment in a big city as an immigrant. It's different in villages, obviously. But these are good points. So do you often wonder how long it would take if you fell down? And, I mean, Mash, you've got a roommate, right? You got a flatmate, so you live with somebody. Leanne, you live on your own.
I do, but I live on a property where there's another house.
Okay, so they would eventually come looking if you weren't around for like 4 days.
Yeah, or my family.
Yeah, someone would ask.
Or you guys every Monday.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of
the only reason why I'm here.
I jokingly said, why do you think I do the show? You know, in case I'm dead, someone will go, oh, my God, he's not there this morning. We better check he's all right. But it is possible, I suppose, for someone to only figure this stuff out months, years down the line. And, you know, the funny thing about Europe, too, is that people don't really talk to each other. I mean, you can see it on the train, you know, the underground or public transport of any kind. You see, people don't really speak to each other. Mostly they've got their phones out in front of them. They've got their earphones in. They're not really listening. They're not paying attention to other people. Other people are kind of like their decoration around them. They're not involved or engaged with other people. And I wonder.
Yeah. It can happen so easily. Mm. I mean, just on a personal note, I don't know if you guys remember, but when lockdown first started, no one had heard from my uncle in a few days. And after we broke into the flat, I found him on the sofa and he'd passed away. Yeah. And he'd been there for 3 days already. So it can happen so easily. You know, another time in a place I used to live, from my study, I had a direct view into this elderly person's property. Mm-hmm. And I would see him sometimes watering the garden, etc.
Right.
And I hadn't seen him for a while. And before I knew it, there was the coroner was there. And Ooh. They were removing his body from the property. Jeez. And interestingly, and perhaps a little different to what we're talking about, but within a few days, his relatives were there with suitcases, piling things into suitcases and taking them off the property. So that was a wake-up call. But interestingly as well, just recently there was a person who was figured out after he, in the UK, was still charging this woman rent, but she'd been dead for 2 years inside the apartment.
Oof.
And the same thing, the rent was being paid out of kindness by someone from a medical background who had agreed to pay this woman's rent. This person was still paying the rent, but not, you know, finding out how the woman was. In the meantime, just before she passed away, she applied for assistance from the government. And so her rent was then covered by that for a while as well. And this man knew that she'd obviously died because there were complaints about the smell from the neighbors. There were quite a few police visits, but they just said no, nobody answered and didn't take it further. So, sure. The social services have actually apologized and said we should have tried harder. But he's just been found out now, just recently.
My God. I mean, you don't think about these things until they happen in your life. You don't think about, you know, who would find you if you fell down or if you like cut yourself and bled out or whatever. You could be making supper and, you know, you could pass out from, I don't know, something. You could even have like a rush of blood to the head and fall down. This has happened to people. You don't have to be unhealthy or old for this to happen. And if you live on your own, you wonder sometimes, like, I wonder how long it would take people to figure out that I'm not okay.
Don't you remember the story of that guy who died, oh my God, who died in his office chair at his desk? And he was there for 3 days, people walking past during the morning.
Ah, Abel.
Because nobody in the office pays attention, and especially in these big corporations where everybody's just a number. You know, nobody even knows each other's names. They just walk past the desk every morning. They're like, hey, guy doesn't respond. You're like, what a rude asshole. Meanwhile, he's dead.
How much value does your job really carry in that case? My word.
Well, I mean.
It just goes back to how nowadays people don't even really check on each other that much. You know, with social media, we're so used to just, because I have lots of friends who I don't talk to. And the only way we keep track of each other is with what we post on social media. And some of them do post perhaps every 2 months, every 3 months. And I'll be like, oh, okay, he bought a new car. Oh, he did this. Mm-hmm. And I just keep it moving.
Right.
And it did happen to a friend of mine quite a while ago. So an ex of hers, she found out an ex-boyfriend of hers actually passed away. And she found this out because she was actually on his Netflix account still.
Oh, my God.
And the account just stopped working. And she was, like, losing his mind. And she was swearing. She was mad. She's like, how dare he not pay the Netflix? Yes, we're not together anymore. Ooh. But he agreed that he'd keep on his Netflix. And the account wasn't being paid for about 2 months. And she was just furious. Only to find out that he passed away.
She's a hectic. Yeah. Wow. I hope she felt bad after that. Like, rather than paying the Netflix. So, V-Riss says, have you guys watched a movie called The Lobster? It's about the dangers of living alone. Mm-mm.
Ooh.
No.
Ooh.
Jared says, it's quite odd that it would take as long as that. There is a council tax in most cities that you have to pay even if you own the property. We know a hermit that was kicked out of his home for not paying. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Tracy says, I'll never forget the interview with the Blood Sisters. Yes, those forensic sisters. Remember? Mm. They're not even sisters, but they work together. They were telling the story of the body that had been decomposing for a while. It looked like mince, and his own cat was eating him. Ugh!
Mm.
That's so gross. Accidents can happen. Air fryers blowing up. Uh-oh, we said air fryers, so that means I have to remind you to like and subscribe. That's the rule. So everybody, thanks to Steve for bringing up that word, like and subscribe. I have to do it this morning. Sorry.
Yeah. There's so many stupid things that could go wrong. Tripping on a stair and hitting your head on the corner of a table.
I know.
Your electric blanket bursting into flames. I don't know.
Well, Jean says, my family would know that I had died. They would be ready to cash in on my funeral policies. The nice family you've got. Sure.
I actually, I also have a friend. My friends are very interesting. So I have a friend whose family in Clarksville actually asked for a copy of his ID and added him into their funeral policy.
Oh, really?
And I remember him coming to me and saying, so my family in Clarksville wants me to pay them a visit. And they said I must come with a suitcase, but no clothes, because they'll buy me clothes when I get there. And I was like, they're going to kill you.
That sounds horrible, man. You're joking. This is his family?
Red flags.
No, this actually happened.
No.
And he told me that, no, my family in Clarksdorp, who I never see these people. They're not invested in my life. They don't even know what
they wanted to take out a funeral policy on this guy and then kill him.
They took out a funeral policy, not even a life policy.
So here's this is something scary that people talk about, right? They don't talk about it. Maybe they should. There's a lot of this going on in South Africa where people do insure somebody for a lot of money. They all put like big policies on someone, and then that person just suddenly doesn't arrive for work or for the next occasion that the family get together, and everybody's like, where is that dude? And they've basically taken the guy out so they could cash in on his policy. Do you know how many people in South Africa have policies and they don't tell their family about them?
Yes.
This is a big thing. Apparently, according to a friend of mine who's in insurance, he said to me a while ago that there are millions of South Africans who have life insurance policies, funeral policies, all kinds of policies that will pay out when they die, and they don't dare tell anybody because otherwise there's a target on their back. How's that? Isn't that frightening to think about? You're like, well, you know, if we find out that old Uncle Fester over there has a funeral policy, then it's not going to be long before we take him out. But that's what happens.
I met a person who I subsequently found out after all ties were cut and I was no longer in contact with them. That they'd served jail time, him and a friend, for finding a person on the street, a homeless person, buying this person alcohol and getting them very drunk.
Oh, my God.
And putting them inside one of their cars, setting it alight and pushing it off of the side of a cliff into a body of water, and claimed insurance for the car as being stolen.
No.
Fighting the Kruger's door.
Ways, Leanne. Yeah. No.
So that happened.
Way.
Yeah, that happened.
My God. And this guy went to jail?
For murder.
Oh.
For murder and obviously tax problems, but
That's unbelievable.
Careful out there, people.
Pushing the car. So hang on a second. How did they find, they just found a homeless person. What did they want to claim on the car? And they just found this homeless person and, oh my God, that's insane.
That is terrifying. Sure. I actually got some policies. And then I never told my family. So some of my family members are beneficiaries. So they might be listening, so I can't mention who's who.
But you've done this. You're one of the people I was talking about.
Yes, I have some policies in place.
You don't tell anybody.
I can't tell them they're beneficiaries. And, okay, I'm going to... This might sound a bit messed up, but an aunt of mine a couple of years ago was like... add me to your policies. Yeah, add me to your policies. Oh, you're working now. Add me to your policies. And I was like, no, why would I adjust my policies? And then she died like 2 years later. And I was honestly like, ish, I should have added her to my policies. I felt terrible. But at the same time, I was like, ish.
But it wouldn't have helped. It wouldn't have helped if you had added her because she died, not you. She only would have got money if you died. So lucky you that you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't hop the perch and she did. Still, it's scary to think that there are people who have taken out these policies and they won't tell a soul because otherwise people will try to kill them in their own families. That's messed up.
There was that woman recently who was bussed after some clever investigators went in on it and pretended that they were hitmen who were going to help her kill her family members.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Remember, she was in court.
I remember this.
Yeah. And she was encouraging family members to get policies. And then she was going and she killed a whole household, including children.
Yes.
And had absolutely no remorse. Yeah. Wasn't it Rosie or something?
It was Rose.
Rose, yes.
Yes, she became a meme and all of that because for some reason, every time she would show up in court, she'd be looking better and better and better. And people are like, wow, jail is really making her glow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the other funny thing is, like, we were talking to Joe Cimino just the other day. He was telling us about, like, where you can save money. And he's like, well, don't have all these policies. He said, you don't need all these policies because when you're dead, what benefit is it going to do for you? You're paying all this money, and then it's going into something it's only going to realize any value once you're dead. And unless you have kids who are, like, really young, or you have a dependent, you know, you have a wife who doesn't have a job or anything else, or she doesn't have means of her own. He said, why are you wasting this money? What are you trying to make other people rich for? You don't want people to be happy when you're dead. And I think that's a good point. You know, makes you kind of question the idea of life insurance policies full stop. Why would you want those things? And especially if you don't have dependents. If you are single and you live on your own, why bother with all that stuff? You know, it's a waste of money. And I just thought, suddenly, in light of all of this stuff and the fact that there are so many people who are trying to hide the fact that they have policies, it's an amazing thing to consider. We live in a very strange world. Jared says, similar moves were pulled in Devilsdorp. Zach Valentine faked his death to get a policy paid out to that Cecilia lady. Rosemary and Rosemary and Glovu is the woman who you guys are thinking of.
Yes, Rosemary. Yeah.
Yes, you
sounds like such a happy lady.
Yeah. Rosemary and Glovu. Lovely. Yeah.
Gareth, I'm all set up here with fast Wi-Fi and headphones and microphone on if you guys want to dial me in. Okay, so Christopher actually sent me an email about he's doing like 86 days in the Kruger Park, and I said to him we'll see if we can get to him at some point and talk to him. He's raising money for a couple of really good causes, but we'll see if we have time for that at some point. That chick is Bonita from Pletz, still waiting for her to tell me what happened 15 years later. Whew, I don't know what that's all about.
So this Lighthouse Barber, if you look a few stories back, I mean messages, they left their car at a friend's place, I think, in Heart Bay, and the car was found burnt out in a field.
Ooh, so it could be the same people that you know, Leanne.
Who knows?
So Lito says, in colored and black communities where one person works in the family, one ends up being responsible for a lot of additional families and end up costing. Yeah, that's that black tax that we speak about so often.
Yes. Especially as a black child starting to work, all the family members want you to actually add them to your policies so that if they die, you get payouts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wen says, a friend in Westville, Durban found a garden flat tenant dead after they'd been away. They returned to the sound of running water and found him dead in the shower. Oh my God. That's got to be the worst. I don't want to die in the, or the bath. Can you imagine they find you dead in the bath? That's horrible.
That's true. It actually, so at my previous apartment, it did happen to one of my neighbors. They didn't die, but we thought he was dead. And we actually broke the door in. So this guy actually left the water running in the shower, and he didn't close the shower door. So it's angled. The shower head is angled in a way that if the door is not closed, the water is going out the shower.
Oh, shit.
So we actually knocked. The water was actually coming out from under the door of his apartment. And it was just flooding the passageway. So at this point, we're kind of freaking out because we're thinking, he did. So eventually, we call security. We call management. They get some extra keys. The key won't go in because his key's in the door. Yeah. So we actually have to break the door down. We break the door down, break into the apartment. Turns out he's just drunk and passed out, and he ran the shower, about to shower, and he just passed out.
But luckily not dead. God. I mean, that's, you know, small mercies.
Yes. Fortunately.
What a story.
That's terrible, because then you've got to actually face the embarrassment.
I'm sure he wishes he was dead after that. I'm sure he wished he was.
That's humiliating. Some fun comments here as well from some of the people who are listening to this. Everybody's got a story, right? My friend, says Corona's boring, knows someone who couldn't afford balloon payments on their Golf 7 GTI, so he sold it to carjackers. But the insurers saw the trade from the street cameras, and he still had to pay. Ooh. Oh, man. Ooh. So now he sold it to the carjackers. So he doesn't get any money from that, obviously. Or he got a little bit of money from that, but then that's obviously ill-gotten gains, so can't even keep it. Vincent says, I recently changed my beneficiaries on every policy I have. I forgot my ex-wife was the only beneficiary. If she knew, I wouldn't be writing this message. Absolutely. Oh, that's some horrible stuff. You've got to read Prof. Ryan Blumenthal's book, Autopsy. Most people die in the bathroom.
Well, no.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's probably because people fall and they slip in the shower or whatever and hit their heads.
Mm.
You know?
Sure.
And then eventually the water goes cold, I suppose. Ugh. Unbelievable. The Westville guy was in his 60s and had a heart attack. Thankfully, he didn't lie there for years. Yeah, you see, I mean, these stories are just, they're insane. So thank you, Woman of Color. Now you've got us on a tangent about, like, dead bodies.
Crazy.
I'm always curious, though, these houses, these very old houses. Would it bother you if you knew, if you were buying a house, would it bother you if you knew that someone had died in that house?
Yes.
It would.
Not from a spirit's point of view. Not that. But I suppose spiritual in some way, because it's almost like a karma thing, an energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it would bother you a little bit.
I wouldn't be comfortable. Any time I walked past the spot where I'd known they died, I would look at it thinking that. It would drive me mad.
Carl says, my worst fear is dying mid-masturbation. Imagine them finding you on your phone in one hand and your rigor mortis penis in the other. But
Don't you remember, Garrett,
all those people?
The news.
Yeah.
There was a story in the news that I read in the news when I was reading news on, you know, on.
I think we got the part about the news, yeah?
Of a girl who was found with her pants half down.
Mm-hmm.
And she was dead in her bed, and she had porn on her phone.
Yes.
And I thought, firstly, how did that story get out? Because surely the people who found her were family members or friends.
Why would they give
that information to the media or to the police?
Right.
So undignified.
If it's me, please don't say that. Just say she had her oven gloves on and must have slipped in the kitchen on some cooking oil.
Or that she just passed away. You know, they often say, you hear a lot of this, she just passed away in her sleep. I wonder if all of those stories...
She died doing what she loved.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, you wonder, like, is that really true? Because maybe she also, you know, maybe a couple of these people die in these weird and horrible ways, and they're covering for them, essentially. I think that's good. Mm-hmm. You should be covering for people you love, especially if you're the one who discovers them. Don't tell everybody that you found them with their pants down. Mash, your stories are absolutely unbelievable. Between you and Leanne, you have material for a story podcast, from swingers clubs to getting lost in broad daylight. You guys are insane. I couldn't agree more. Totally. Didn't Elvis die in the loo?
We should get together ever.
No. Steve E. Well, that's why I put you on the show together. Steve E. says, didn't Elvis die alone in the loo? Yes, he did. Mm. He did. He was straining. Dear. He was on a lot of drugs, and he was straining really hard to take a shit, and he burst like a blood vessel in his heart or something, and then... That's one for the money and two for the show. just gone. That's horrible. What a horrible way. The king of rock and roll. Just
dying on the shitter.
Straining to take a shit. So bad. Oh, man. Lighthouse Bomber says, Baba says, yes, for sure. I want to know who pumped in my house. Yeah, that's pretty wacky as well. I worked in insurance for a while, says Gary. Don't underestimate the forensic departments at Discovery and Liberty and all those places. I'm sure they're very good, because people are always trying to scam the insurers.
Yes.
You know, people are always trying to find a way to get some money that they're not entitled to. And, you know, people who fake, like, robberies in their house, you really think they're not going to catch you? They're going to figure it out.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
They broke in over there, but nothing's broken, and then they took my TV. I mean, the TV's around the back of the house, propped against the wall.
The times that I've claimed for things because they've genuinely been stolen or gone missing, I even feel guilty then. I can't imagine.
Yeah. Some people don't feel
like major fraud.
No. Some people don't care. They're like, oh, no, I'm going to rip off the insurers. And listen, I suppose if you're desperate and you have absolutely no money, you try your best to find money anywhere, right? And some people will. Hmm. They'll make up a story. They'll fake a robbery. It often happens in these these complexes and these estates where there's someone at the gate the whole time. So you know it couldn't have been a stranger. And then they're like, oh, no, but it's probably an inside job. Yeah, inside your house. It's you. That's the inside job.
It's you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lito says, I'm still finding it difficult to move to my house because my aunt died and she was a fucking evil lady, busy renovating it now, but surely going to get a tenant. Yeah. Mm. Some people just, there's a bad vibe in some houses. It doesn't necessarily have to do with someone dying. Lighthouse Barber also wants to know, hey, would you rather slip and die on cooking oil or melted butter? Stupid question, but I see where you're going with this. Wasn't that woman who made her dog lick her, and then there was a TV crew waiting to surprise her, which was so gross?
Yes, there was a story.
Oh, God, there's some horrible things. Horrible things. Sean also reminded me, like, that was Michael Hutchins from NXS. Remember the singer from NXS? He was doing that autoerotic asphyxiation thing where he had, a belt, and he was hanging himself and masturbating at the same time. And then obviously it went too far. And then he couldn't come back from it. So he hanged himself while he was trying to gain new kinds of pleasure. Hey, listen. Some insane shit going on out there. A friend passed out while watching a porno, volume on full blast, while burning his food on the stove. The whole family woke up because of the smoke. And Kwai Nai volume 3 on full blast. Oh my God, that's terrible. He passed out, but he didn't die, so he had to live with that.
His mother woke him.
Jeez, that is terrible. That is so, so bad.
And in such situations, I suppose the most embarrassing thing would have to be what you were watching primarily.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, then they know what kind of porn you were into. Which is terrible. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you've got, like, some horrible, weird fetish. Like, you, let's say you
some
like
weird stuff,
you know, yeah. Like, really fat people having sex or dwarves or...
That's kind of normal, yeah.
Dress-up porn.
But, like, people pooing and stuff like that. That's a thing. I trained it for some time.
That's a thing.
It is.
It's an actual thing some people are into. That also happened to David Carradine from Kill Bill. That's right. He also had the auto. Listen, if you consider how many famous people we know who've done this autoerotic asphyxiation thing, there must be many, many more who we don't know about, like ordinary people who are into this.
Yeah.
Pretty wild, man. Yeah. Telling you, everybody thinks everything's normal. You get out there and you actually hear the stories and you're like, oh, my God. Anyway, listen, we got to move on to Collectomania, and this is my favorite part of a Monday morning. It's brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can check them out at scoinshop.com. We're going to speak to someone this morning called Robbie Carlos. He collects playing cards from various trading card games, and he has tens of thousands of these things. So he is a serious, serious collector. And we'll show you a couple of pictures of those too. He started collecting cards around 2009, but he's only been a serious collector for about 8 years. Let's meet the man. Hey, Robbie, how are you?
How's it going, everyone? How are you?
Nice to see you. You laughing because of the conversation we were having before you came on?
Yes.
don't worry. It's,
very much so.
This is what we do every morning on the show. I promise you. There's nothing strange about us talking about this weird shit.
My friends and I have had weird conversations. Don't worry about it.
So, Robbie, tell us about your card collection and where it all started.
Yeah, so like you said, I started collecting in around 2009. It's the earliest I could throw back my mind to. Mm-hmm. I was vaguely around this time in South Africa, the trading card game Yu-Gi-Oh! Released. I remember leaving class in primary school, going to my mom's car, and she had a packet with her that she just handed to me. Said nothing, she just handed it to me.
Remind me about Yu-Gi-Oh! Again. I don't know what that is. Sorry, I'm out of it when it comes to this stuff. So you're going to have to take me through baby steps on this stuff.
That's fine. So Yu-Gi-Oh! Is probably, if I'm not mistaken, one of the major Japanese trading card games that came over to the Western regions. It was a TV show that aired on SABC a while back as well. basically a show about a guy who gets possessed by an ancient Egyptian pharaoh to play and plays card games, but when he plays the cards, the monsters come to life. So the show is wild. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
But yeah, that's like the basic. I don't know. It's a piece of cardboard with art that has information on it. There's not really much more to say about it other than that. Yeah, it's a strategic card game. There's quite a few of them. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is just one of what we refer to as.
Don't get me too much into the reeds here, but like, how does the game itself work? Because have you ever played the game, or do you just collect the cards?
So I've been a Yu-Gi-Oh! Player for roughly, give me a moment, roughly about, it was in my trick when I started playing again. Let's say roughly about 8 years as well. So also when I started collecting majorly again.
Okay.
I then started attempting competitive play, like going to actual tournaments for like regional qualification.
Wow.
Which is where a whole bunch of people get together, we play against each other, and then I think if I'm not mistaken, it's the top three. The winner of that qualifier stands a chance to go to the international championships, which are like in Germany, Japan. It switches every year, so it determines where it is.
That's impressive stuff.
To play against people from around the world.
So you're not just some amateur who's like buggering around on the sides here. You take this seriously, and you obviously know what you're doing.
Well,
no, this is impressive. No, own it, dude. I love this. No, this is very cool. For people who don't know what the stuff is, and we'll start with Yu-Gi-Oh, which honestly I didn't know about before. But now you're telling me that this stuff, you can enter tournaments and competitions, you can win things, you can travel the world. I mean, this is pretty wild. This is amazing. I'm very impressed with this. So, Robbie, how many cards do you reckon you have all together in your collection? Because I mentioned in the intro tens of thousands.
So the reason I told you guys tens of thousands is because I actually can't give you a physical count. Because if I had to have gone to count my cards, it probably would have taken me a month. Because I have boxes upon boxes of just cards sitting, like in cupboards, in a shelf. Because you don't use every card you own.
Right.
So in trading card games, you're split into like, I'd say three camps. You've got the collectors, which they literally just collect the cards, nothing more, nothing less. You've got the player base, which is you actually perform the card game portion of the trading card game. And then you get what's called vendors, which are people that buy the cards and then sell them when they either increase in value or they just find a really rare card on the cheap and then flip it for more expensive. So like those are like the three stereotypical camps.
So we know
I'm a player, so I just bought product and kept buying.
Okay, so you don't try to sell any and you don't really care if you want to open them up and play with them. You don't want to like store them up. I mean, is there any card there that is there any card that you've got that you will not use because you know it's too valuable and you'd rather try and sell it someday?
There are a lot of cards that I have that are relatively high in price, and some of them I'm waiting on because they're still accruing value. One of the images I sent you guys is like three cards on a table specifically.
Yeah, got it. Over here.
These three cards over here.
Okay, tell us what these
cards I'm showing right now are two Digimon. All right, cool. So I've got two Digimon cards with me and one Yu-Gi-Oh card with me. And they're all in what's referred to as a top loader. So this is basically a hardened plastic case just to keep the cards from getting damaged in any way, shape, or form, whether it's by liquid falling on them, dust, anything. Nothing's going to happen to these cards as long as they're in here. The one card is a this is going to be jargon, so
I'm all ears. We've heard, believe me, we had a guy on here who collects plastic apes. We had someone on who collects like Barbie dolls and Barbie doll clothes. So trust me, this is not weird. You're not the weirdest person. Trust me. You're all good.
Great. Yeah, so the one, so if anyone's watching on YouTube, the Center One, and for the listeners, I'll explain what it is. The Center One is in what's referred to as an ultimate rare Dark Requiem XYZ Dragon, but it's the Japanese printing of the card. The reason I got it was because it's the highest rarity of the card, and it's one of my favorite cards. It was in a deck that I actually played. So I just wanted like all the versions of it. So I've got a normal version of it. I've got a super version. I've got a rare version. I've got a secret rare version. And then this is the highest rarity version.
So how did you get hold? How did you get hold of that? Did you buy that online in like an auction, or did you buy it off a website? Did you buy it from a trader? Like, how do you get your hands on something like that?
So there are two really good websites you can go to buy trading cards. One's called TCG Player. And the other one's called Troll and Toad. They are basically market websites where vendors, for example, will go and sell their cards for X amount of value.
Okay.
You'll purchase them and then they'll be shipped to you. Conversely, you can go to card shops or local game stores, LGSs, and some of them will have like individual cards for sale that they've opened. Because sometimes a card store will open a box themselves and just separate the cards and sell the individuals instead of selling just a whole box of cards.
Okay.
So those are a few ways you can buy cards. Otherwise, it's pretty much everyone opening boxes, and then if you don't get something, you trade for someone who did get it. Otherwise, right, you're going to have to buy it.
So that first one that you told us about, that middle one that's yes, rare, the Japanese yeah, version that you've got there, what is that worth? Do you yeah, know?
This thing, I bought it, I think if I'm not mistaken, for $1. And it hasn't accrued much value. This thing I think is about $5 at most. But the issue with trading card games is if it's not an old card, which then has accrued rarity by virtue of being old and unable to find now, this is where the game aspect comes in. Cards' values are given to them by us, the players, on the secondary market. So the main company that sells the game just sells the boxes, don't give a shit about the individual cards. This is the box's right, value, go for it. Here's the cards. The player base gives cards values based on how important they are to the game in its current standpoint. So whatever card is being most used in the game currently is the most expensive card.
Now, you mentioned,
if that card, for whatever reason, falls out of favor, it loses value.
It loses value. All right, so you mentioned Digimon. Is that different to Pokemon? What's the difference?
Yes, so Digimon is a new card game that was released in 2020. Very bold move by the company, I know. And it was distributed throughout, but unfortunately South Africa did not was not on the list to be distributed to.
No.
I have ordered individual cards myself in my personal capacity, and I am slowly with a whole bunch of people from different card shops all over South Africa trying to build the game in the country and get maybe someone to import it in.
Okay.
And I think it's the game I've spent the most money on ever in my life.
How much do you reckon you've spent how much do you think you've spent on it?
Digimon, in the last year, because I started only at the start of this year, I would wager close on 30 G's.
30,000 Rand. You know what? I mean, yes, what else do you work for? I mean, this is the funny thing about collectors, and I say this as one, and I know, Leanne, you've got a little collection of something. Mash, you might have a collection of something for all we know. Might be weird. It might be strange. It might be a thing that just you care about. But the fact is, this is why we work. I mean, beyond the, like, basics of, like, you have to eat, you have to have a nice, warm place to sleep, you have to be able to pay your bills. Beyond that, what else do you have money for if not to collect weird things, things that interest you? If you've spent 30 grand on your hobby, I don't see anything wrong with that. There's a market for this stuff. And thank God for it, because probably you spending that 30,000 Rand has kept a whole bunch of other people in business who can now do all the basics that they need to pay for. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Do you have family members or friends who look at you, you know, in a strange way because you spend money on stuff like this?
Not really, because I've been the oddball for like my whole life, so my family's kind of used to it.
Yeah.
But I also kind of, I have one uncle who really vouches for me a lot. And the way he and I kind of rationalize it to people is it's very simple. Like, a lot of things you collect, sometimes you don't get to use. I use my cards every Saturday. Mm-hmm. I actually go to a store and I actually play the games. So I actually have usage for the cards that I own. And also there's the aspect of I can resell it later. So those 30 Gs I spent now, for all I know, I could sell one card and make half of that back. Because that does happen.
Sure.
Like, insanely, that does happen. There was a Pokemon card. It was a Shadowless Charizard. What's referred to as a Shadowless Charizard. It's a first edition Charizard card that has a printing error on it. So they the printer didn't print a portion of the artwork. Or they put the wrong artwork into the printer. I can't remember what the full thing is. But if you have one of those, it can sell for tens of thousands of dollars. And I think on auction, one sold for something crazy. It was like something mad, like $50,000 or some shit like that. It was crazy. Like, it's one of the most expensive cards to have been sold individually by itself.
Phenomenal.
So if you have something like that or something accrues to that value, you've made what you've lost. So
yeah, sure.
That's how
do you belong to like groups on social media that all collect or play or trade?
Yeah, well, I don't. Personal thing. I don't partake in social media.
Oh.
I have accounts, but I don't partake. Like, I don't participate.
Right. So you just you're there, but you're not. You're like commenting and leaving.
Yeah.
You know, you're okay.
Yeah. I lurk. I don't participate.
That's all right. Probably safer.
And there are Yu-Gi-Oh! South Africa, Pokemon South Africa. Yeah. There's a Digimon South Africa group. There's even trading groups specifically for if you want to sell and distribute your cards. Mostly it's on Facebook, though. So if you're looking for somewhere to go, anyone in the audience, you can go to Facebook. And if you search any of the card games' names, something will probably pop up.
All right. So there's another part of this that has nothing to do with the game, the actual playing of the game, that has nothing to do with the value of the cards. Some of it has to do with the art. I mean, some of these cards are very, very beautifully made. I mean, there's someone who's spent an enormous amount of time, who's been paid to draw, paint, to create, either digitally or otherwise, a beautiful work of art. And each of these cards represents, you know, like a tiny little picture of something truly magnificently designed.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason you collect too, right?
Yeah, some of them even go further. In Yu-Gi-Oh! There's a series of cards called Albaz and the Dogmatica Story, because they're a series of individual cards that each do their own thing, but in the artworks of the cards, you can see as they release a new one, a sort of story unfolding. They don't disclose like a full, like, here's what the story is. But if you put cards next to each other in a certain order, you start to see an order of things happening in the artworks. Like, oh, here's a battle, and then all of a sudden you see a person on the floor defeated with someone standing on top of them. And if you look in the previous card, you see the two fighting on a battleship, for instance. So, like, if you certain games do weave card artwork into each other to form like this undisclosed story, kind of like an Easter egg for the player base to kind of slap together and find. So we put the puzzle together; they just provide the pieces. And for me, that's amazing. Like, I love it when a certain series of cards does that. For me, I like to collect those ones because I'm just like, I have the full storyline.
That's beautiful.
I like it when
so
I have like the whole.
You
like,
also you
to paint.
You've got enough cards now that you've collected these albums that you can actually display them in, which helps too, because then you can, you know, you can look at them, you can show them off.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
protected under the plastic. They're not in those hard plastic cases that the very expensive ones would be in. But this is pretty cool because then you can display them. You've got them organized, filed neatly. You could put them away. You know where everything is.
Yeah.
Because there are obviously boxes and boxes, as you said, of cards that you still haven't sorted out, that you haven't got a place for. So it's nice to see that some of them are sorted out like this. How do you decide which ones go in the files?
Yes. The viewers, the listeners won't be able to see it, but for the binder on the far left, the bottom of the screen, that's my Digimon binder. That entire binder is Digimon. It's 31 pages of 18 pockets with two cards in each pocket. So sure. If someone wants to do the math, they can go for it.
No.
But that binder this binder alone is probably also like thousands of cards.
Is it possible to collect them all, or do they keep on bringing out new cards so it's never possible for you to catch up and actually have the whole lot?
Probably not possible if you're jumping into a game that's been like long established, because then there's too much that is gone, and also the older it is, the more expensive it gets. So it's not like you'll be able to just buy the individual cards, because one card alone might break the bank. So it's only really possible if you've...
Now, Leanne and Mash, do you...
started with the game and continually collected with it.
Leanne and Mash, do you even understand what we've been talking about, Robbie and I? Because, of course, I know all about Digimon and Pokemon and, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! And all that stuff. I know all of this, but clearly I feel like we're leaving you two out. I feel like you don't know what we're talking about here. It's a high-level conversation just Robbie and I can understand.
Feel free to jump in with questions.
No, I actually know exactly what Robbie's talking about, but I do just have one question. What is the difference between Digimon, Yu-Gi-Oh? What is it called?
Yeah, you see, you don't know a damn thing, man. You don't know anything. You're trying to embarrass. He's very embarrassing himself. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's fine. It's a standard first question for someone wanting to get into trading card games. They're all separate games, so they're all different collections. A lot of them are based off. A lot of card games start off. TV shows, so like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon, I know were on SABC. Yes. I think Digimon first was on Fox Kids, if anyone in SA remembers that. Throwback.
No.
So they normally start out as TV shows, and then someone has the idea to build like their own uniqueness to them, but you'll stand it find similarities between,
All right, very good.
Anyone who was looking yourself. But yeah, all the games kind of like, these are tried and true kind of rules.
Wow.
Leanne, I know you've just started your collection, so would you like some tips on how to move forward from Robbie?
I was definitely one of those kids who... you know, we used to play that game where you tap the card with your hand to try and flip it over and win it. In those days, it was it the Tiger Cats or whatever they were called? The Thundercats, thank you. And I certainly beat some of the older boys at the school, so I was quite into that. But I think at some point for me, because I do have this tendency to become hyper obsessed with things once I found out about them, and I'll want to research everything on them, that I've had to edit how much I'm willing to take in. So anything that's sort of animated or fantasy, I've kind of put in a box and said, okay, don't go down that route, because otherwise you won't have any time of your day left. So and the same goes for things like coffee, you know, becoming involved in coffee beans and percolating and all the rest of it.
Oh, don't lie.
That's unfortunately,
you're into all of this shit. You're just pretending. You think you're too cool. Carl says, you know what? Mash starts the show by lying about being a Banyana fan, and he ends the show lying about Digimon like he's pretending. Catered deployment. I agree. Mash, you got to stop bullshitting us, man. We could see through your lies. The lies and the lies. And, I mean, look at Robbie. He's not convinced by any of your bullshit.
That's just gonna be bad. I
feel so Robbie, what's your day job? Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
So I'm a graphic designer for Comic-Con Africa. So
amazing.
Oh, wow.
You can kind of maybe see where the influence came from for my job.
All right. So does all of this stuff does all of this fit into like the whole Comic-Con thing? I mean, is this part of what you guys do at Comic-Con? Because that's pretty wild then, because then you're working in the perfect field. This is exactly what you should be doing. Yeah.
It's the greatest nerd job in the world. Yeah, we have a tabletop zone at Comic-Con every year where people can go and play the games or learn to play the games. Mm-hmm. So if you want to learn to play some of the games I've mentioned, you can go to Comic-Con and there'll be an area specifically dedicated to teaching.
Amazing.
That so learning is so important.
If you ever
want
to learn how to play Yu-Gi-Oh! Pokemon, come on down.
Right.
It's so daunting to even consider trying something like this. You know, I'd be petrified of someone who'd been in the game for years laughing at a mistake that I'd made. So that's really cool that there's a learning opportunity.
So the community tends to be very welcoming to new players. Like, I can tell, like, it doesn't matter which community, we tend to be very welcoming, because the issue with a lot of card games is we're an aging hobby, because we started when they launched and we just kept going, and the games have gone progressively harder as they've gotten older, because obviously you can't do the same thing all the time.
Sure.
You have to mix it up. So they've made the game harder, the rules get longer, it's harder to teach someone. So when someone does approach us, majority of gamers will open arms. Like, I've handed people cards and they've been like, cool, how much do I owe you? I'm like, just take the cards, start your collection, get going, come every weekend, learn to play. You don't have to pay for the tournament and play yourself. Just watch us play, ask us questions, and we're good.
That's nice.
Most card shops are very welcoming in that sense.
And is it a huge, is it a big community in South Africa? Sorry, Mash. Are there a lot of people involved?
I guess. So Magic is probably one of the biggest, because it's the oldest running Western card game. Mm-hmm. There are lots of people that do that. And then Yu-Gi-Oh! Is, I would say, a really close contending second, like, for that first place spot. Because, for instance, we had that regional qualifier I spoke about earlier, mm-hmm. where they could earn the right to go to the World Championships. We had a 121-man tournament 2 months ago. That was in Joburg. And then there was another one in Cape Town, another one in, I think, Durban as well.
Right.
Also, 100-man tournaments, all people vying for a spot. So, yeah, there's plenty of us around. We're just very quiet on a table, just playing with cardboard.
I love it.
We're not making a lot of noise.
No, dude, I love this stuff. This is my favorite thing, because if you talk to someone who's passionate about something, you talk to someone who really loves something, it feels to me like it's infectious, even if it's something you don't know anything about. Like, I'm not embarrassed by it, but I'm like, it's a world I know nothing about. And when I hear you talk about it, it just makes me excited, because I get excited about stuff that nobody else cares about, right? So it shows you that you're not alone in this world.
I'm happy. Like, if it gets people interested, it's all that matters, like, really. Like, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. If you don't like it, it's fine. Thank you for trying. And if you ever reconsider, come on back.
You wanted to ask something, Mash? I interrupted you. Sorry.
Yes. Sorry about that.
You're not
going to
lie. You're not going to lie again and say that you've got all these Yu-Gi-Oh cards that you've got.
You shame.
I have the whole collection. I'm just kidding. No, I just wanted to find out. So if I want to get into this now, is it a must for me to actually watch the TV shows? So watch Digimon, Yu-Gi-Oh, and Pokemon, or can I just jump straight into it?
You can just jump straight into the game. So all the shows have done is show you characters that the cards embody. Like, you don't need to know any of the characters to read the card and know what it does within the game. So it's not a prerequisite to have watched all the shows, because if that were the case, there would be even less players. So you could just show up to a shop, learn how to play the game, and just start playing the game. If you don't know a character, then people will just tell you, oh, it's from this series or this season of the show. Like, it's not necessary.
Well, sweet. I love that you've been able to share this with us, because I'm sure that there are lots of people who are involved. And if you're not involved in this community, it sounds like it's very welcoming and very friendly. It sounds like a fun thing to do. And it's also, it doesn't matter how extroverted or introverted you are, there's a place for you and your collections. I like that you shared it with us this morning. Robbie, it's very cool to meet you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks.
No, it's cool to meet all of you too. Thank you for having me.
All right, man. Nice to see you, and we'll hopefully catch up soon.
Cool.
There he is. That's Robbie Carlos and his collection of cards, tens of thousands of cards. Whew. I think
wow.
We've discussed this on the show before, but there's a line between like collecting and hoarding, and sometimes I feel like I'm on this side of the line, and sometimes I feel like I'm on that side of the line with stuff that I'm collecting. But at least with cards, they don't take up a huge amount of space. Like they're this thin, and you put them in boxes, and you know, if you've got stuff that takes up a lot more space or it's heavy or whatever, that's a bit of a problem, especially
like
when you're running.
Like aeroplanes and cars.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, cars. You need a lot of space to collect.
Yeah.
If you know anyone who has a cool collection, well, then let us know about it, because we are coming to a close soon with Collectomania, but we would like to know if there are any other great collections in South Africa so that we can keep it going. Maybe there's a season two in the works. We'll have to see how that goes. The South African Gold Coin Exchange are the people who bring you Collectomania, as well as the Coin Shop. Go and check them out today at coinshop.com. That's coinshop with an S at the front of it, .com. coinshop.com. All right, that's all we got time for today in Collectomania, and we would like to hear from you. If you've got any feedback on the show, anything you'd like to hear more of, anything you'd like us to do, any people you'd like us to talk to, let us know, and we'll talk to you on contact@cliffcentral.com, or you can message us during the show, and we respond to as many of those as we can. The emails, you always get a response. Thanks to Robbie for sharing his collection with us this morning. And Mash and Ass, we will see you guys next week for more.
See you then.
Very
see
good.
See you next week.
Cheers, everybody. Have a happy Monday. Get lots done. Bye.
CliffCentral.com.